For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So let's come to the Word of God this evening and prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your truth and for your benefits that you daily load us with and for the salvation that is so wonderful and full for us. And we pray it be fully manifest and revealed as we know the truth, and the truth makes us free. We thank you for the power to break the oppression of the devil and for the liberty that we have as sons of and daughters of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the Psalm 68, you will find in that psalm a statement that God has sent the Word of God to us. And we can see it in Psalm 68 and verse 11. It says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." So God has sent his word. And we also know, connected with this idea of God giving the word as a gift, in the same psalm, we can connect to the fact that in verse 18, in the second part of the verse, it says, "Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." So the word of God is given primarily, but also other gifts. So the word of God is being given. And verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." Where do we know, or where do we find out what his benefits are, except that we will go to the word that he's given us? That's where we would find out. And of course, there's other benefits and things that we can learn about accordingly. And verse 20 says, "He is the God, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." So he is one keeping us from those bad things, but connecting us to good things. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The entire sort of conception of what the Old Testament is that it is like a legal framework. And it's a legal framework in that God is laying out the, we'll say the method or the process or the construct of what it is to be a human and what's required and what he is to mankind. And so he's giving us the standards and he's telling us the consequences of what happens. So in Deuteronomy 28, so remember we've already just read that God gave the word and he obviously wants to bless us, he's blessed us with gifts and want us to be benefited. In Deuteronomy 28 it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, etc." And on it goes through the verses about benefits, blessings, benefits and blessings. So the title of the message tonight is the benefits that come from God's words. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, so God speaking to us, and how do you do that? To observe and to do all his commandments. Well, where are they? They're written in the Bible, and specifically in particular context he's talking about the law of Moses and broadly therefore the Old Testament and ultimately all the Bible. Well, taking heed to the word of God is going to be a key, because the word of God has the power and the way and the method and the wisdom, and also something else that we can grab hold of, in that it's going to bring about those things that it says. So there is something that comes about. It's like, it's not just, well, the word of God could be like inert in that it's just sitting there, but there's something that happens, like seed going to a soil. If you get that word of God and put it into your life and into your heart, it has this effect like a seed germinating and goes and out grows fruits and things happen. So they're benefits. It tells us very clearly, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do his commandments, which he commands us, what's written in the Bible, there's benefits. So we can understand now a very clear basis. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Talking about the benefits of God's word, listening to it, taking it in, and letting it work through us. So notice now it's not you yourself alone, but if you align yourself to get the word in, getting that word in, if we concentrate on doing the work of getting the word in, that part of that effort, because obviously there's an effort expenditure there, if we concentrate on that part of it, the results of doing that are huge. Because you can't heal yourself, really. But if you concentrate on getting the word of healing in, for example, the benefits are the massive amount of healing that results from getting the word in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God has come. That's requirement one. That's God's part of it. He makes sure it comes to you. Has he done that on earth today? Yes. Even as the internet's everywhere, the Bible's definitely available. And I'm sure even in places where they're trying to ban, you know, things off the internet, I know full well that in certain countries, like I know in a certain foreign country, that even my own website's available, because I had some people from a certain former British colony tell me that they wanted to set up a website. Well, that means they know that mine exists in that country. So here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Well, can you see that there is some sort of power and goodness and refreshing and help and development for you as the word of God is going to be understood by you? There is a connection between understanding the doctrine of the word of God and the refreshing. We know that because in Isaiah chapter 28 it tells us the same thing. You know, basically children, spiritually and naturally, who hear the word of God and they hear it, they're going to be benefited by that. That is the refreshing. It actually says that's what it is. So hearing the word of God is like that life, that beautiful rain that helps the plants grow. That's what it's going to do in your life. It's going to be producing that flourishing. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. How to change the path of your life now as a Christian, because one of the things we are, or a major thing we can see, and Paul and Peter talk about this issue, is we're living in a world that's full of darkness and full of, you know, lusts warring against your soul and things that want to conform you to the pattern of this world, right? Well, how are you going to correct your life so you don't go, oh, and then you're off sliding off into the pit? Psalm 119 says, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto," so taking heed to his word, "thereto according to thy word." In other words, it's not looking at his life, but it's looking at getting the word applied into his life. Well, that's for all of us. That's a sanctification work. How are you going to make so that your life is staying in the holiness path, changing your thoughts, changing the direction of your life? You know, some people have issues with letting fearfulness take hold of them. Some people have issues of anger rising up, taking hold. Some people have a lying that takes hold. Some people, they're caught in the trap of lust. Some people are caught in the trap of other, you know, error, deception, whatever. Well, the way that's going to help you clean your way to get you to be on the right tracks, the holiness tracks, which is the sanctification work of the word of God. So is that a benefit for you to be able to get the God correcting you? Like, he's not wanting to punish correction, as in, you know, he's trying to torture his children. No, this is the chastening correction that's chopping out the bad things. Sometimes it seems a bit grievous. Oh, I have to, you know, actually put effort in on a hot day to do this, or I have to, you know, make sure I'm not taking hold of those thoughts, whatever they are. But that short-term grievousness cannot compare to the long-term benefits of a good vessel Christian that you should be. So you can be a poor vessel Christian. That's good, you're saved, but it's not as good as what you can be as you let the word mould and more distinctly refine your life, that you can be a intricate, better vessel Christian, like a gold, silver and precious stone Christian. Okay, so verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. So the word of God is the track to follow. It's not like we're making it up. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's telling us what to concentrate on. He said before, hearken diligently unto the voice. And now he's saying in this verse, hide the word of God in your heart. Well, that's like an actual decision, isn't it? It's an effort. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. And this is just about the word of God itself. Every word of God is pure. What do you think that's going to do to you? He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Do you think, well, you can see it. He's a shield, meaning you put the word of God in, the word of God's going to be a resistance against bad things trying to get you. A common known psalm, Psalm 103. I'm not going to read the first part of the psalm. Psalm 103, verse 20, Psalm 103, 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. So you could say like an angel could be sort of like a spiritual robot in a way, or a spiritual android, that the word of God is like a programming language for that angel. So the word of God says this, or go here, or do this at this time, or this is how to operate, and the angel follows that program. We see in the natural the robots going around, you know, in different ways delivering and doing tasks. But in the spirit, angels are following the word of God program. So what should we do? Well, let's have a look here. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Well, that's good, they're strong. That do his commandments. Well, that's good. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. So what should we do? We should articulate out the promises of the word of God, knowing that angels being ministers to us are going to be responsive to that. Angels will act. Angels will be then energized to do. And that's going to be, in a practical way in the spirit realm, what happens as you speak the words of God. You see, you might be taking a Bible or believing it and praise God and saying the words of God. You can't necessarily see all those things in the spirit happening, but what's happening in the spirit? Well, you know, angels are going forward and the devil's are being pushed out of the way, and all kinds of things are going on that you can't see, and it may be affecting things 20 years into the future, you don't know, because it does that. It has alignments to things beyond our own narrow here and now and physical looking constraints. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 tells us about the word of God in how it is powerful. And if you think about what it's talking about here, then of course you'd want to align to speak it, hear it, and let it into your life. Isaiah 55, starting from verse 8, says, for my thoughts, that's God, his thoughts, God's thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, that watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So God's word is like rain that comes and makes the soil to be fruitful. That's what the word of God. So God spoke his word and has given his Bible to us and for us to receive his words in our thinking. For a purpose, okay? And what's that purpose? Well, first of all, he's saying the word actually works. But secondly, he's showing it in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, like blank or not working, But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, what did he send it to do? If he gave the word of healing, what do you think is going to happen? It's not like people can't be healed. God gave his word to bring health. If God's given his word of benefits, then those gifts are there for us to walk in. So these are the things we can see. Look at Luke chapter 5. And in Luke 5 and around this area as well, we see it in Luke and other places, is this idea, for example, here, that Jesus came to preach the word to the crowds, to multitudes, or to people, for them to hear the word of God. All right? Luke 5 verse 15 is an example. It says, but so much the more, went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear. Oh. So the multitudes didn't come there to see a show or just to get healed. The multitudes actually came, number one, first, or the first step in the process was to hear the preaching of the word. So anyone that thinks, oh, we're going to have a signs and wonders meeting and it's just going to be all manifestation, but those people never had the word given to them, then pretty much you're just having a meeting where the devil could step right in, because what word is being fulfilled if there are to be signs and wonders, for example? So the inclination of the audience, just like it says in Psalm 110, where it says about the people shall be willing in the day of the power of the reign of Jesus, and the reign of Jesus is today through the church and through the ministry of the Holy Ghost through the church, but that means that people should come to hear. And by the way, that's exactly what Paul and others said when they said about the Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, which is a quote from the Psalms, for the purpose also of there being this idea of, as the Bible says, hearing and they won't hear it. So you preach the word, and but he's made their hearts gross and their minds dull of hearing. Why? Because if they did hear it, they would be healed and converted and whatever. So the point here is that hearing is the first requirement. And that's where we can see a problem today in this world, where people have at the moment a choice and are in a condition of not hearing. And it's affected whole groups of people, specifically what happened with the Jewish people in the time of the New Testament period, where the apostles were there, yet all these people persisted in their rebellion, and they ended up getting destroyed in a bad way by the Romans. Now, that could all have been avoided if they did one thing, and that's hear the word of the Lord. And so we know that bad things come, but of course Jesus predicted what would happen to Jerusalem anyway. But here we see multitudes came together to hear. So there were at least some people willing in Judea when Jesus going around preaching, and in Galilee as well, that they came to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. You can see that hearing precedes the benefit manifestation. So the word of God being spoken is as much important in the process as someone saying, yes, praise God, I'm healed, I can walk, leap, and praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says, just went to 1 Corinthians, I've just got to go to 2 Corinthians. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how do you even know what the knowledge of God is except you've got the Bible to show you what that is, that you can know it? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, if you know what the Bible says and what's right, then you know how to bring your thinking into conformity to that. Now, why am I mentioning that? Is because it ties back to this idea of the sanctification power of the Word of God. So the benefits aren't just, oh, Jesus wants you to be healed, but you're going to live an unholy life. You can't do the life of unsanctification and yet expect prosperity and healing. So holiness doctrine is actually a primary doctrine, really, to all of these things. That's what the problem was with the Laodicean church. You can be all connected to, we want to walk in the prosperity, but if you don't have a heart inclination that is right and you're sort of lukewarm and whatever, then that's a problem that has to be dealt with first. And it is indeed the problem. So the life that we live must conform to the Word of God from the roots or foundation of what the Word of God is saying. You want to walk in the health of God, you want to have the miracles of God, we have to accept the yoke of Jesus first. You can't say, oh yes, come to Jesus tonight and now you can have healing and that's all. Oh yes, I have the healing of Jesus, it's fine. But a life that's in no way conformed to listening to his word and obeying it, that way of thinking doesn't match up. So Christian prosperity must come as a tertiary step to the secondary step of walking in holiness, which comes after the primary step of accepting Jesus Christ as your Saviour, in that order. And so, of course, we want to also receive the Holy Ghost to help us be empowered in walking our Christianity and being a witness as well as a primary part of that. You can't be a very good witness for Christ if you're actually still living in sin and saying you're a saved Christian. Let's look also in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, because Matthew 4 verse 4 tells us that God's word to us is like a spiritual food, and we need that spiritual food for our sustenance. Matthew 4:4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So man's life does not consist merely on eating bread and, you know, natural bread, but also means we have to eat the spiritual sustenance of the Word of God. And so Jesus is actually saying it's more important to partake of the Word of God than it is to eat natural bread. And once we have things in that kind of order of God and his ways first and then the natural, well, certainly he's going to make sure you have bread to eat. That's a very strong promise throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. He'll meet your bread needs. That is, you won't go hungry. You won't have lack. There's also a promise that's built upon that, which is not only does he meet your bread needs, he actually also guarantees your seed needs. And by that, we don't mean needs, we now mean ability. In other words, he's saying, if you put this word of God to practice, not only will God look after you, but you can start to accomplish things that are beyond just what you need. You can start to do things that are effective on a scale many times more than that. Let's look at John 15 and verse 7. I heard this passage on Sunday read out and was looking at it. And as I looked at it and heard it being preached, I realised that I never really thought about it so much about the aspect of God's words. And it's John 15 and verse 7. And it says, if ye abide in me, so if you're a Christian, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's very easy to say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I'm a believer and receiver of Christ, and all this kind of thing. And it says, ye shall ask what you will. Okay, well, I would like this thing or that thing, and it shall be done unto you. You ask the Father in the name of Jesus. But I think that there should be an emphasis on this aspect of not only are you a Christian, but you've got to be a Christian according to God's work into you, specifically that you are letting God's words not just come in a bit to you or once in a while, but he says abide, which means they're living and they're stably in you. In other words, the word of God is present and empowered in you, which means you've obviously got a flow of the word of God coming in and in there. So your heart is programmed, as it were, by the word of God in a continuous existence. So you can abide in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Yeah, that's true. And my words abide in you. Well, that means you've got to get your word level up, because the next step, when he says you shall ask what you will, well, most people have been jumping to asking whatever they think, but that will has to be aligned with God's will. You can't just say, well, I'd like to be winning at the casino, and when I smoke a cigarette, it will not give me any cancer. These are all things that really are not aligning to the will of God properly. And, you know, people can be jumping off into wrong directions here, because they're not really putting that intermediate step in of getting God's words to be abiding in them, so they actually know what God's will is. And then if they know what God's will is and their will is aligned to God's will, then whatever they're asking, and it can be for material things of all kinds of things, good things, whatever things, you know, well, they should all be good, but, you know, whatever things, you shall ask what you will. In other words, it now opens up the possibility, but you're doing it on a foundation of the word of God. And in fact, really, what you should be asking for, whatever those things are, whether it is, you know, things that are going to help the gospel specifically, or just other things that are just generally in line with, you know, God is good and wants to bless his children and whatever, you know, those good things, whatever they are, that you're going to know that that's fine in the eyes of God. So you've got to have a knowledge of that, and you've got to have a condition of your life that is ready and open for that. So it's very important then to see that the step of getting the benefits is based on knowing, or you know God's word. You know God wants you to have good things, but you know what kinds of things he wants you to have. And there's lots of good promises that you can take. In fact, there's all kinds of promises you could take. Someone can get blessing in business from the word of God, because it talks about that in the Bible. It talks about people, you know, trading and doing profitable things in business, whether it's to do with making clothes or whatever. There's all kinds of examples of things people could take hold of, even travel things. You know, God cares about travel, does he? Why did he let Elijah run fast? Why did Philip go into a chariot? You know, God does care about that thing. Even Jesus rode a nice animal into Jerusalem. So do you think God cares about you having a good car for your life? Well, of course he would. I mean, you would know that. You would know that that car isn't an evil thing. Oh, no, can't have, you know, a nice car. Why not? What's a doctrine from the Bible that would say you can't have a nice car? You see, it's very clear from Scripture that we should have good things, but you can have all kinds of things. So God actually does care about that. And unless you're in the Word of God, you would be all like, well, I want this and maybe not that, and I don't know, and this and whatever. It's about clarity. It's about letting God's words have the effect in your thinking. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Because we find here in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that the ability that we have to call on God is an ability that's going to bring the answers that we need. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, "And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith," in verse 11, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." All right? So what he's telling us is that As you speak and believe the word of God, that's what he's talking about, by the way, if you read the earlier verses, he's talking about the word of God preached, and you believe God, you will not be ashamed. Now, someone might say, well, this is talking about being born again specifically. Yes, but the same principle applies overall, because salvation isn't just the salvation of being born again salvation. The salvation is the being born again and all the things that are part of that. And the package is full. The package is full of all kinds of things, prosperity, health, and many other benefits. So that's the salvation. So if you need a salvation boost or deliverance in a particular area, this same precedent or method is the same thing that applies. You would get the word of God in your heart and believe God's word about that, whatever it is, whatever it says about that issue. That might be a soundness of mind, let's say. Well, you know that what the Bible tells you is that. So you grab a hold of verses about that. And you confess with your mouth and speak out those scriptures and believe and, you know, whatever. Call on God and believe and speak and be consistent with that. And it says that, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the salvation that comes is a salvation in that area that is a subpart of the full salvation. And that salvation is full, is not just being saved from sin that sends you to hell. It's not just being saved from the consequence of sin of going to hell. It's a salvation of the consequence of sin that was keeping you back or was a problem in whatever area. So the sin problem includes poverty, includes sickness, because the devil's obviously energizing everything on that side of the equation. And so the deliverance power of the word of God is also addressing all the areas there. Food to eat, clothes to wear, healing for your body, prosperity for your wallet or bank account, and everything that he wants for you. Good things, many things. Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. Acts 14, 3. And it's talking here about the preaching of the word and the effect of it. So Acts 14 and 3 says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Can you see that the preaching of the word happened first, and then God backed up what was being preached with the signs following? Does that make sense? They preached the word boldly, and then there were signs and, you know, miracles and good things happening. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:13, you don't have to turn to this, I'm just going to read it out. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. We believe what the word of God says and speak. I'm not going to go into it, but you can read about the story of Abraham from the book of Acts, and how Abraham believed God, and he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. So he believed the word of God. But we're going to look at, in closing, at Mark 16. So the title of the message today is The Benefits That Come From God's Words. And in Mark chapter 16, Jesus essentially is telling them to preach the word. Okay, so this is what happens when the word of God goes forth. And it doesn't just mean going out to evangelize, but like what happens if the word of God is coming into your life as a Christian? What happens? Well, let's see. So Mark 16, we'll start from verse 15. Jesus, and it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's obviously the message of the word of God, the good news, to every creature. You know, that's to everyone. He didn't mean dogs and cats and things. He meant every creature, as in every person. And verse 16 tells us, you know, the results. Some people are going to believe. That's good. And these signs shall follow in verse 17. Them that believe. Believe what? Believe the preaching of the word. So you can say it like this. Here's the word of God. If you believe it, these are the things that will happen. All right? Now, I don't have to read all of that now. You can read that for yourself and you should know it. But verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So Jesus went up to heaven. Now, what do you think happened next? Generally speaking, what happened next? The apostles went and did what? They went forth, verse 20, and they went forth. This is what the apostles did. We know that's what they did in all their lives until their deaths. And they went forth and preached everywhere. You know, one apostle ended up in India and all around the place. They went preaching. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. You think that word has benefit power with it? Yes. Confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that each person here be blessed, and we thank you for your presence with us. And I pray each person here has a good night and a good week until we come back on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.